So our second scripture reading today comes from the book of James, chapter 5, and the book of Mark, chapter 1. And these passages are also about healing, so I thought it was important for us to share two of them today. James 5 reads, "Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective." And then Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 34, and this is considered Christ's first healing. "As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about it at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now, prayers for healing are encouraged in the church, of course. So what I was saying was that my family has Christian Science background, and my father really rejected the church for a long time because he felt that his parents had neglected his sister, who died from scarlet fever at age 9, when the Christian Science prayers that they called in to help did not succeed in curing her. But God does provide us with many avenues to healing and wholeness, and prayer is always, I think, a helpful thing to do, but it's not meant to be a solo act. When I pray for people in the hospital, for instance, I pray for the doctors and the nurses to take the very best care of them that they can, and to enhance their wisdom and compassion to the best of their abilities, so that our church member and our friends can heal and return home as soon as possible. I pray that the patient feels at peace through the presence of the Holy Spirit being there with them so they don't feel so alone. And I also pray that angels watch over them to help them sleep well and to feel strong again. Prayers are generally found to be helpful, and there's a lot of scientific studies now that have shown that prayer is connected to better health and well-being. And you all can pray as well as I can. My prayers are no more powerful than yours. HealthOnline.com states, "Prayer can improve a person's mental health by reducing anxiety and stress. In turn, this can translate into better physiological functioning, because lower levels of the stress hormone cortisol helps to lower blood pressure and improves immune functioning." Now, this passage today from James and the story of Jesus healing Simon's mother-in-law challenge us to continue to pray for the sick and believe that prayer is powerful and effective for healing. I think it depends, too, on our definition for healing. I also believe Jesus is proving something more to the witnesses of his healings during the process of the healing miracles that he performs. In the Bible, there are many instances where Jesus heals, but even in James, the prayer for the sick involves, quote, saving the sick, raising them up, and the forgiveness of sins rather than simply a cure. Healing can be defined as restoring something to its original state of health, or it can be the process of making something sound or healthy again, which reflects on the idea of wholeness, to make something whole again that was broken, but maybe not in exactly the same way as before. We all want to have the power to heal or to be healed immediately. Wouldn't that be the best superpower to have if you were going to get a superpower, to have a power to heal everyone and yourself? In the healings during his ministry on earth, Jesus shows that the way things are is not the way they will always be, and that there is great power available to us through our kinship with God. Jesus is living proof that God's will for us is not chaos, but wholeness. And with God's help, we can overcome the darkness of suffering. Every miracle proclaims that truth. And I love the way Barbara Bowden Taylor puts it. She says, with Jesus, every healing, every revival, every banishment of evil is like a hole poked in the opaque fabric of time and space. The kingdom breaks through, and for a moment or two, we see how things will be, or how they really are right now in the mind of God. The problem with miracles, though, is it is hard to not want one for ourselves or for our loved ones who are suffering. We all know that not everyone gets a miracle when they pray for one, and some get a miracle even when they don't ask for one. So what is the formula? How do we get the healing we want when we want it? It is hard to know because God asks us to trust, and he doesn't give us the recipe for every cure. We still have to lean on each other and promote science and healthcare to deal with all the various diseases that afflict our world. But it is more than ridding the planet of disease. Jesus was doing even more than proving his power over sickness during these healings. He was making the people whole again. And he did this partially by giving them their sense of purpose again. Notice in today's passage, it was the mother-in-law who is healed, and she immediately went back to work serving. Her role in the home was reestablished from the healing. In other healings, you may remember that Jesus dispelled myths about women being unclean or about the dead contaminating those around them. The touching and helping a woman who was bleeding for 12 years was always forbidden because she was considered unclean. But Jesus didn't just allow the touch. He took time to engage the woman in conversation after she touched his robe and experienced the healing. Rather than rebuking her for making him unclean, he relieved her of any sense of guilt for the seemingly rash act that she did. And he lifted her up and called her daughter. He told her that her faith saved her, gave her his love, and sent her away whole and able to be back in community as an active participant. When Jesus healed Jairus' daughter, you may remember, he was breaking a huge taboo. The child was dead, and when he got to her, he took her by the hand anyway, and she rose up. He also took the time on the Sabbath to heal a woman bent over double with a back deformity. When the synagogue leaders rebuked the woman for being healed on the Sabbath, Jesus defended her and called them hypocrites. Jesus always had a bigger message in all these healings. His message included showing that he valued the sick and that they deserved to be cared for and welcomed back into community. You remember in these days, the Jewish belief was that people deserved what they got, and so if they were sick, they must have done something wrong. But Jesus gave them body, mind, and spiritual wholeness again, not just a physical cure. But Barbara Brown Taylor says that sometimes these miracle healings do more harm than good when they are misinterpreted. She tells the story of her time in a hospital as a chaplain when evangelicals would come into the rooms of her patients telling them that if they only had deeper faith, they would get well. Some were interpreting the miracle stories of healing in the Bible to mean that if we just believed enough, we would be cured of all afflictions. As if we can control God and make miracles happen in our own timing. As if you can just pump up your faith enough to impress God with the power of your belief and a reward will be given. But faith alone doesn't work miracles. God does. Taylor says, to concentrate our energy on focusing our faith for a cure is like practicing magic. But trusting in the strength of God, no matter what the outcome, is practicing faith. Faith is knowing that God is lovingly mysterious and accepting that suffering is a part of everyone's life. So what then is healing all about? Prayers for healing are still important, but the healing we get may not include a cure. Healing may be more comprehensive than that. I was searching and found a study that was called The Meaning of Healing, Transcending Suffering, and it was published in the Annals of Family Medicine. And they researched to find an operational definition of healing and an explanation of its mechanisms beyond the physiological processes related to curing. Their goal was to help physicians promote holistic healing, which I have to add is something nurses have been doing since the beginning of the profession. They interviewed physicians like Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross when she was still alive, and Dr. Bernie Siegel, along with others who are well known for their work in the medical realm of healing and dying. The results of the study found that healing is a subjective experience involving a reconciliation of the meaning a person gives to the distressing events that they are experiencing with their perception of wholeness. So it's like a putting together and a melding and a harmony between how the person perceives their own wholeness and how they make meaning out of the suffering that they are going through. So in the final summary of the study, healing was operationally defined as the personal experience of the transcendence of suffering. The personal experience of the transcendence of suffering. That doesn't mean suffering is gone, but they've been able to transcend the impact that it's had on their lives. And they also found that psychological concepts of healing include a reordering of a person's sense of position in the world. You probably all realize that sickness tends to isolate and it threatens our self-esteem. So healing includes a social reorganization and personal growth. Healing is also the process of bringing together aspects of oneself, body, mind, and spirit, that promotes integration and balance and harmony. Dr. Siegel maintained that you can be healed and still have a physically sick body. Healing can occur without a cure. Healing is related to wholeness, and wholeness is experienced in connection with others. So this leads to the spiritual emphasis in healing and wholeness. The spiritual aspect of a person can propel them forward in the healing process by coming to a state of harmony and peace about their illness. When they discover meaning in their afflictions, they may awaken to what is truly important in life and be able to reconcile their distress and transcend the suffering. For example, a patient showed healing had happened when in the dying process, she said, "I can't see round the next bend, but I know it will all be all right." And this reminded me of my mother's favorite quote towards the end, which is, "I don't know what the future holds, but..." but I know who holds my future. Healing involves a personal wholeness which connects to faith. Illness can threaten the integrity of a person, but suffering can be relieved by regaining a sense of personhood in the midst of the suffering. Suffering is transcended when there is meaning found within it. And so in this study, spirituality and religion were both recognized as having an impact on health outcomes. And now today, 50% of all medical schools teach spirituality in medicine because so many studies conclude that the two are related. Jesus must have known all of this when he included personal connections with his miraculous healings. Jesus understood the need for body, mind, and spiritual balance, so he forgave people of their sins to help their mental health. And he talked directly to them to show his love, and compassionately touched them during the healings, which restored their personhood and raised up their place in the community. Jesus was a holistic healer. He didn't just zap their wounds and go on his way. He also encouraged persevering in faith, hope, and gratitude among those he healed. Like when he fed people, Jesus not only fed them bread and fish, he also fed their souls with faith and trust in God to help them all the rest of their lives. May we do likewise, as we all can promote healing and wholeness in our community of faith and beyond. So today we invite you to come forward to be anointed with oil. And in that anointing, you are not only being blessed by the Holy Spirit for your healing and wholeness, you are being strengthened to go out and bring that blessing of God to others. So when you come forward, if you choose to, let us know if you want your forehead or your hand anointed, and we will say a blessing, and then you can go to one of the prayer stations where the Stephen ministers will be for personal prayer, or you can go back to your seats. And the prayer stations, there's one here, there's one in that back corner, and there's one over here by the children's table. So now we will pray a prayer of blessing.
Gracious God, source of all healing, in Jesus Christ, you heal the sick and mend the broken. We bless you for this oil, pressed from the fruits of the earth, given to us as a sign of healing, forgiveness, and your unconditional love. By your Spirit, come upon all who receive this ministry of compassion, that they may sense your healing touch and feel your peace that surpasses all understanding. In your will and in your ways, may each of us be made whole in body, mind, and spirit. All to the glory of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.